Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We give thanks to the Almighty Yah for the opportunity to perform for you today. We want to thank Robin Applewood, Doug Man Joe. Give it up. Give it up for the Sheba Warrior.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a powerful song, family. What a powerful song. I Am Shem. That's one of them songs that just get that spirit rocking back and forth and get you praising, get your hands up, get your feet to moving, get your hands to clapping. Just one of them songs that put that fire in you, get you right, get your spirit right, get you ready when them battle cries. I'm your brother, Ariel. Welcome back to Iblis Culture here at Kol Elohim, Baltimore, Maryland, coming out of Assembly of Bet Yahweh. Thanking Abba Yah for allowing me once again to bring forth another message that he has bestowed upon me. Thank Abba Yah first and foremost. Thanking Abba Yah for being a visionary, being something or the master who sees everything and knows everything and is two steps ahead of our adversary. If we just listen and stay close to him, we will also be two steps ahead of our adversary. If we're not, it's because something Abba want us to learn. So I thank him for being a visionary and having a vision, first and foremost, having a plan of salvation. We will be talking about just a little bit about that tonight. And somebody shoot me a text. Let me know that I'm coming through clear. Excuse me. I'm just happy to be back on another journey. Another journey through Yahweh's word. And this journey will be the judgment and the wrath of Yahweh. The judgment and the wrath of Yahweh. We will come to learn some things about the judgment. We will come to learn some things about the wrath of Yahweh. And sometimes they're one and the same, and sometimes they're not. You know, and some very interesting things are going to come out of this 6 weeks course that Yahweh have us on. Torah Haki, Torah. We're going to learn some things. And it's timely. It's so timely because we're going in the book of wisdom, I believe, starting tomorrow with Brother Shabbat. And the book of wisdom is about judgment, Yahweh's judgment, you know. Yahweh's judgment, if you ever read it, and just to give a little brief synopsis of it. And it ain't even talking, it's about the Pesach, it's about Passover, but it's not even talking about from an Israelite point of view. It's actually talking about from an Egyptian point of view, what happened to them, you know, which I really love that part, because Israel was safe down in Goshen, but what was going on in the rest of the world? And throughout this six-week course, that's what we're going to learn, that once this judgment and once this wrath come forward, that Israel going to be safe. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, Israel will be safe. Matter of fact, I'm jumping the gun. Let me go ahead and open up with a prayer. And if Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba Yah, for bringing us once again to the door of the Shabbat. Not quite yet, but we're at the door of the Shabbat. Thank you once again for bringing us through another week, Father. Thank you. Thank you for those who take hold of your covenants, Father. Thank you for Yahushua for laying down his life for us, Father. Thank you for Yahushua for being that warrior king, Father. Thank you, Father. Because now in these days and times, Father, we need you to rise up your warriors, Father. We need you to put the spirit of Dawid, the spirit of Judah Maccabee in your men, Father, so we can go forth in this world, Father, to declare your salvation unto this world, Father. We need you to put that spirit within us, Father, that spirit of Judah Maccabee and the spirit of Dawid, Father. Most importantly, the spirit of Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. We need that, Father. We need your men to be strong, Father. We need our coaches to be strong, Father. Father, because we know we in this battle together, Father. We know we can't move without our coaches, Father. We know that they may not be on the front line, but their role is more important than ours, Father. You said that they were a help me, Father. So give them the understanding. Give them the wisdom to know that their role is important in this battle, Father. Their role is very important in this battle. Father, I want to ask them that you touch and heal all those who are ailing, Father. Let it be thy will, Father. I want to ask them that for all the Rakims, Father, that you just give them shalom, Father, wherever they're going to. Give them shalom. Let them know, Father, that you are a covering, Most High. For all of Kohanim, Father, give them that rock, Father, that two-edged sword, Father, that two-edged sword. The Hakoti, the Yavadi, Father, cover them, Father. All Yisrael, Father, who take hold of your covenant. Bless all houses, Father. Keep all unclean spirits out of our houses, Father. May we recognize these things, and may we go through and clean our houses, Father. But give us that ruach, Father. Give us that second help for the battle was waging, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. All right, family. Here we go again. And it's not going to be that long. It's just the introduction tonight. Just the introduction to things that Abba was giving me. You know, but I sit back as I was going through the lesson and combing through my mind on Israel. Israel, that the ones who don't even know that they're Israel. And as I go through my daily walks and daily driving and just daily everyday life, I look at Israel everywhere I go. And we're going to hear some things tonight about Israel. We're going to hear some things about Israel. We're not so much going to get into the rest of the world, which we are. Which we are, because that judgment and that wrath is coming for them. We are going to get there. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the judgment and wrath of Yahweh. And what I pray, that we all get our own houses together, so we can be worthy. We can be worthy to walk in that kingdom. We can be worthy of the calling that Abba has put upon us. That we, what's been going out, endure to the end. And the word that Abba was putting on my mind as I was reading this, it's about a process. Salvation is a process. You know, the world likes to use these words every 10, 15 years, a word will pop up, you know. And now what they were saying, respect the process. If you really understood that about respect the process, respect what Yahweh has given in this world, salvation, and understand the process of salvation. It ain't once saved, always saved. Is he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. It's a process. A process of hills and valleys, peaks, ups and downs, troubles, heartaches, knockdowns, allowing the adversary to touch you. All for your sake. All for your sake. For our sake. And don't let nobody mind fall that I'm not speaking to myself, because trust and believe, as what was said last Shabbat, most of the lessons that come out, they are personal. They are coming from within first, and then they're going out. Because you know why? Because we are human beings, And the understanding is, if I'm going through it, somebody else may be going through it too. If I'm struggling in this area, somebody else may be struggling in this area. If I can put where I'm struggling at, maybe somebody else can get courage and say that. Why? Because that's our life. That's our lot. We're supposed to throw our lives down. We're supposed to set it on that altar. We're supposed to hide not our shortcomings and our downfall. That's why you heard Rabbi Yaakiel say his downfall. You hear many of the brothers get up there. And you hear a little bit of apprehension every now and then when they talking about the downfall. Because don't nobody want to outright tell you about their downfall. But if you want to be a servant of the Most High Yah, you have to do that. Why? Because Abba know and understand that, A, if you're hiding something, how's the tongue going to use that against you? Hallel, the adversary, he's going to use that against you. So it's better off, according to say, confess your sin one to another. So he can't go nowhere with that. But don't nobody outright want to get up there and say, oh, I'm weak in this area, I fell in this area, I did this in that area. And when you sitting up there, and prayerfully nobody do put anybody on the pedestal, because the only one that belongs on the pedestal is Yahushua HaMashiach. That's it. But there is a certain honor due unto the Kohanim. Why? Because that's how Abba settled up. And there's a certain way the Kohanim supposed to be living a set-apart life. But every now and then we fall short. We still want to hold on to this world system. But that's when Abba come with the, as we always hear, Brother Yahweh's famous word, the big hand. Abba got to come do that. Hey. Hey. You got to let that flesh go. You have to let that flesh go. You have to. That's not your life. That's not why you was born. If you want that life, I give it to you. But you talking about hell on earth, you're going to have it. But that means you're rejecting the Ruach HaKodesh. You're rejecting Yahushua HaMashiach. And I don't think nobody wants to reject Yahushua HaMashiach. Not in their right mind. That have already accepted him. You have to sure enough be, what did you say, a dog returning unto his vomit. Sure enough that. So let me open up, and I will be reading out of the WEBA, the World English Bible Translation, and I will, every now and then, I may go back to the King James, because on this, the King James app, I could easily look up a word and give the definition for it. We're going to look up two words today, judgment and wrath, and we're going to learn some things. Excuse me. But I have an opening scripture, and the opening scripture is Yeshayahu 58:1. That is Isaiah, for those who don't know what Yeshayahu is or who Yeshayahu is. And this is the time that we're in. But again, salvation is a process. And as this time and right now, it also was a time for when he told Yeshayahu to do this. Why? Because the people's state of mind have not changed. In fact, the people's state of mind have gotten worse. But at the time he told Yeshayahu to do this, that's where the people was in sin. The people was knee deep in sin, in iniquity. But even more so today, we have to cry aloud. Don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their disobedience and to the house of Yaakov their sins. Tell them, make your voice like a trumpet. Those who are in charge to speak Yahweh's word, and not even just your voice, your action, the way you live, that is loud. that is loud, when you see our sisters dressed in their modest apparel or their chaste behavior and the words that comes out their mouths, ain't no words coming out their mouths with each and every word, they cuss word, they're not sassy. They honorable women, honorable men. So not just with your words, speak loud, with your actions, with every part of you. There's no way our words should be coming out mixed. I don't care what company we in. Whether we're around our friends, whether we're around our family, whether we're around our coworkers, there's no mixing of the words. It's only one ruach. That means at the moment, I myself, because I had to tell my coworkers today, excuse my language. What spirit does I allow to overtake? What spirit is speaking when I'm talking this foulness? I'm talking about these curse words that come out of my mouth every now and then that it seems like I got to get a hold on again. I find myself more often than not saying, excuse my language. And it shouldn't be that way for me. Because he said, cry, tell my people with my disobedience, it is for it is commanded of us that we speak honorable. I don't care what company we in, that we speak honorable, that we speak in our actions and our doings and whatever we do, we honor in our Father, whatever we do, wherever we at. And trust and believe, it's going to make you feel like an outsider. It's going to make you feel like a cornball, especially if you, you thought you was cool at one time in life. It's going to make you feel like a cornball and an outsider. One of my coworkers told me, my good friend, she's just a close coworker, honestly. She said, she said, you weird. She said, you just don't know him. He just stayed to himself. You know, because I don't get into all that. I don't feel, my spirit doesn't feel right. But every now and then I feel myself getting pulled over there, being pulled and talking about these two conversations that I should not have. Remember, salvation is a process. It's those who endure to the end. It's not that Christian theology, once saved, always saved. That we pray, take not thy Ruach HaKodesh from me, take not your Holy Spirit from me. That means we can lose it. And now ain't the time to lose nothing pertaining to Yahweh. Now ain't the time to lose nothing pertaining to Yahweh. Now is the time to lose these fleshly things, this carnality that clings on to us. That's the time now. Because we're fast coming to a time where Yahweh's judgment and Yahweh's wrath is coming upon this earth. And when we're going to look, we're going to see by the time the end, Yahweh's judgment have been in the earth for a long time. See, when we think about judgment, most of us, we go straight to the final judgment. No, when he came down and he said he's going to cast judgment on those false deities of Mitzrayim, we won't read in the Book of Wisdom that he came down and he put judgment on those Malachim because it was a false god. He didn't come down and fight no wood and stone. He didn't say that. It ain't no wood and stone. You think you're coming down with it? No. It was those unclean spirit that was motivating these people. So Yahweh's judgment has been in the world. It has been in the world. And we're going to read, it's not always judgment for a bad thing. And for the most part, if you are one who is trying to keep his law, statutes, and judgment, and his commandments, his judgment for you, even though it may seem harsh at that time, is for your benefit. It's for your benefit. And maybe not just for your benefit, for somebody else's benefit, especially if you've been called and sit down. I'll say again, sit down to do a work. If you've been sent down to do a work, if he knew you before you was in your mother's womb, and he sent you down here to do a work, when he passed a judgment on you, a sentence on you, and you go through something, it's for your own good or somebody else's. Ask our forefather, Joseph, when he sent him down to Mitzrayim, first his brothers turned on him. Those that he claimed to be close to, those that supposed to love him, turned on him. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph, for those who may not know, we know that he got so they faked his death. They sold him to the Midianites, and then the Midianites sold him to the Egyptians. And he went down there still trying to be a righteous man. His Potiphar wife tried to give him some. And he's like, no, I'm not like that. I'm a righteous man. I serve the Most High Yah. I've shunned that. For being righteous, he got thrown in jail. Imagine at the time what Brother Yusuf was going through. After he got thrown in jail, then his promises was, oh, I'm a tough girl. Then at the end of the day, he got raised up to the second hand. We know and understand why that story is there. We know that that story points to Yahushua, the one that was innocent, the one that had to die, the one that had to lay down his life for mankind. We know why that Brother Joseph had to do that. He had to save his people. He understood it at the end, but boy, when he first saw his brothers, he was pissed. He was upset. But Abba had to speak to him. Abba had to whisper in his ear. No, son. Go back. Recall everything. Now there's a famine in the land of Canaan. They down here because they need substance. They need food. They're hungry. And you in a position to feed them. Think about it. He had to come up some understanding. You mean to tell me I had to go through all that? And I doubt any of us been through all that. I had to go through all that. My mama died. I didn't even get to see my mama. To save my people. To save my people. So he said, cry aloud, don't spare, lift up your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their disobedience, and to the house of Jacob their sins. And that will be my opening scripture from here on out for the rest of the 6 weeks. So we're going to go to Shemot. We're not going for this scripture, but just in this scripture, I thought it was fitting where Abba led me just to look up the word judgment. Shemot 7:4. Now, just listen to it. Just listen to this and understand what we're going up against. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Mitzrayim and bring forth my army and my people, the Yaladim, the children of Yisrael, out of the land of Mitzrayim by my judgments. Listen to what I would say, that I may lay hand upon Mitzrayim. I'm going to lay hands upon. And we think we're the slickest things on earth, man. But black people, we think we come up with all types of sayings. It's us not understanding that, hey, man, that's a part of your history. That's a part of your origin. You know who the first one said, I'm going to lay hands on somebody? Abba. I'm going to lay hands on Mitzrayim for my people. But listen to the first thing he said. For my armies. He called Israel the army before they came to Mount Sinai. Before they got the Ten Commandments, he called them an army. Why you need an army, Albert? For what? What you need an army? Who are we fighting? We understand the world. We're going to go through that. We're going to go through some of these captivities of Yeshua'al. See, Yahweh's judgment has been in the earth for a long time. My armies and my people, the Yaladim of Yisra'el, out of the land of Mitzrayim by great judgments. So we understand, we know those great judgments, those 10 plagues, what they call them. Shaphat. In your Hebrews concordance, we're looking up the word judges. And that's 8201. From 8199, a sentence, i.e., infliction, judgment. Let's go to 8199. A primitive root, i.e., to judge, pronounce sentence for or against, by implication, to vindicate or punish. By extension, to govern passively. And I'm going to stop right there at your own time. In your own leisure, go and read that. Because the thought I wanted to get to is to pronounce judgment, pronounce a sentence for or against you. He can pronounce this judgment. See, every time we think of the word judgment, we think of it as something bad. No. Abba will pronounce judgment upon the other people because they did something to his children. Judgment was pronounced on Korah. What was that? The ground opened up and swallowed him and all his generation, and everybody was. That was a judgment passed on them. Why? Because they came up against Aharon and Moshe. Because they thought they was the chosen ones, and they were not. See, and that's another thing. Within these 6 weeks, let's look at that. Let's keep that in our mind. Either it's for you or it's against you. Yahweh's judgment. It could be for you or it will be against you. And we, as believers, do not want Yahweh's judgment against us. We want to end up after we come through whatever we come going through and understand that this was for my benefit. Whatever these aches and pains and whatever I'm going through, I'm ailing, or whatever I feel as though that's troubling me, and I pray to the Most High, I pray to Abba, and I get that answer, and he show me where I have stepped out of line, and he had to get me back on the line. Hallelujah! Supposed to be the first thing to come out of our mouth. Because that sentence, that judgment, was for our good. It may not felt good, but at the end of the day, I'm still on this road. I'm still in this process of salvation. And that's what we want. We want to always be on that straight and narrow road of salvation, the ultimate salvation. Because that's another thing. Yahweh saved us many times, but we talk about the ultimate salvation. Let's move on to Shemot 22. Chapter 24. And for those who don't know what Shemot is, it's Exodus. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fathers. and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you. Kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widowed, and your children fatherless. That's his wrath right there. That's when he's upset. That's when you're at a point where, though, what they say, the point of no return, that means he is really upset. And when his wrath comes down, that's what he's talking about. I'm going to kill you. I'm smash. I'm getting rid of you. And we don't want to be on that side. We don't want to be on that side. In fact, we want to tell people, repent. Repent. For the salvation of Yah is at hand. Let's look that word up, brother. And it's afar, off. From 5:9, it's in your Hebrew recording, 6:39, from 5:9:9, properly the nose or nostrils, hence the face, and occasionally a person, also the rapid breathing and passion, ear, anger. And just think about that. Think about when you used to see the cartoons and the face turned red. Woo! Where'd they get that from? Where'd they get that thought from? That when you're so mad, your face turned red. Or when you used to see and the bull get so mad in his nose and smoke come out of his nose. Where'd they get that idea from? We do know and understand that most of the time these cartoons being written, most of these are Jews, and they do know and understand some of these things. So they just took what I've already written and put it in the cartoon. You know, your nose will flare up. Why your nose get so big or spread a little wider when you get mad? And your face get hot. It's like that passion comes up. Everything comes up to your face. I don't know why. I can't answer that one right there. But the judgment and wrath. Now we're going, that was the King James I read out for him. Now we're moving back to the book of Yeshua. We're going to move on to the book of Yeshua. And that is Ezekiel chapter 9. We're going. And we're going to read this whole chapter. We're going to read this whole chapter, fam. And take in what Abba is saying. Because we do know where judgment starts at first. We do know that the word said, and we're going to read it, that judgment should start at my house first. Like I said, now is not the time to let anything come before you and Abba. That relationship. Although we live in a world that's pulling us each and every way, it's pulling on us, it's tugging on us, and sometimes we get pulled off the path. Sometimes we walk off the path. All depends. What's going on in your life. But it happens. You either get pulled off or we walk off. One or the other. One or the other. But now is the time not to get pulled off or to walk off that path, that straight and narrow road that Yahushua talked about, that few may find. Now is not that time. So when I read these words, I want you to listen closely to what he's saying. Listen closely to what we just read. Shema about that wrath. Shema about those sentences that he shall pass. And look at your own life. Look at your own life. And ain't that. Now let me just read it. I'm jumping the gun. Yeshekel 9:1, that is Ezekiel 9:1. Then he cried in my ear, with a loud voice, saying, cause those who are in charge of the city to draw near, each man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, six men come forth the way of the upper gate, which lies toward the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. One man in the middle of them was clothed in linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. So think to yourself, where are these men at? And who was the one that said, cry loud in the ear with a loud voice saying, who is this? Is that Abba saying cry loud with a loud voice? And are they inside the temple? Because they're beside the bronze altar. Let's read it again. Then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause those who are in charge of the city to draw near, each man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lies toward the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. One man in the middle of them was clothed in linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. The glory of Yah, the glory of the master of Yisrael, went up from the cherubim. Upon it was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed in linen. I pray everybody is using their imagination, putting themselves there as we read. Because we're in Jerusalem, we're in the temple right now. We're in Jerusalem. The glory of the master of Yisrael went up from the church, where up it was, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's ink horn by his side. You know, nine times out of ten, this man was a priest and a scribe. The glory of Yah, of Israel, Yahweh said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in it. We got to stop there for a little while. Because listen to and understand what's going on. We didn't read this before. We've been taught this years ago. You understand what the mark is. Matter of fact, we're going to read it just for those who may not understand what the mark is. But get the picture. If you are comfortable, let's go from that side first. If you are comfortable with what's going on with you right now in this world system, ask yourself, what is happening to the mark that is put on you? And I dare not say if you even have the mark. But if you are comfortable with all this abomination that's going on around you today, if it don't sicken you, if it does not bother your spirit, ask yourself, what is going on with the mark? Have I become comfortable in this world system where I'm supposed to be a light? And no, I don't believe that Abba is asking you to run around with a big stamp on your neon light, running around saying, No, I do not agree with that. I don't 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 agree with that. But we know and understand that he did not want us just going out there. And I'm not just saying, understand what I'm saying, not just offending people, because if I tell you the truth and offend you, that's on you. That's word. But now we know and understand that the enemy, the adversary, has set up these things. He has set up pitfalls. He has set up traps that we make him fall in. But at the time, when we get behind that pulpit, we care not about the traps. We do not allow the traps to stop us from speaking what thus saith Yahweh. And the traps that the adversary have set up. But if somebody asks you a question, you tell them, no, I do not agree with your adultery living. No, I do not agree with your fornication. And we know about homosexuality. But it's any and every sin. I do not agree with it. No, I do not agree with that. You speak Yahweh's word. Down after time, somebody come and ask, hey, or like I said, it's your actions. You do not be a part of that. You excuse yourself. Oh, no, I can't come to your Christmas party. I know you invited me every year, but I cannot come to your Christmas party. Why? Because it's an abomination. It is pagan. It is against the Most High Yah that I serve. That's why I can't come. No, I'm not going to your crab feast. Now, I understand the job at the crab feast every year. Everybody be there. We would want you to be there. Well, you understand, I can't come. Why? Because he told me not to eat crab. He actually told you too. Oh, he did? You know how the people be. Where that's at in the Bible? Well, let me show you. Let's go to Leviticus 11, I believe. Leviticus or Numbers 11. Either one. One of the two, I believe. And let's read. They give you a whole list of dietary laws of what you can eat and what you can't eat. So, no, I can't come to your crab feast. No, I can't come to your bull roast. Why? Because it's on the Shabbat. I can't come. No. Well, everybody be, so what? I cannot come to your bull roast. Why? It's on the Shabbat. Where was I at? 4. Yahweh said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Just look at our city here in Baltimore, Maryland. Look at it. Take a good look. People got upset with what Trump said. Now, he fabricated a little bit. He stressed the truth, as he always do. But did he lie completely? Did he completely lie? Where was the apology? But once he started, first he was just talking about how the rats and how it's dirty. But once he got into that money, where that money going at, all the politicians shut up. Ain't nobody start doing no rebuttals. Ain't nobody say nothing back. But once he said the city was dirty and rat infested, they had a lot to say. When he start talking about, well, where this money is that the government sent, they shut up. Elijah Cummings disappeared. I want to let that blow over, because you know black people, they rah-rah for a few minutes, but afterwards, it's gonna die down, and I'm going to slide right back in. Old Slick Charlie, he's going to slide right back in. Why? Because you know we're emotional. We know we get riled up for a minute. And that's it. It dies down. That's why Yahweh got to do this. Yahweh's spirit will not die down. We read the Maccabees. Them brothers fought for years. Why? Because Yahweh's spirit was leading them. If they was fired up, they'd have been If it was just emotions that the been laid them floor down, you know what? The Romans offered us some good stuff. Let's side with them. But it wasn't their emotions. It wasn't their spirit. It was Yahweh's spirit that had them brothers fight for years. That's why Yahweh got to do this thing. He is the one who has to lead this. Because if man lead it, it's going to die off. It's going to dissipate. Not with Yahweh's spirit. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. That's why we wait on Yahweh. But we do not want it to dissipate. We do not want this thing to stop once it go forward, once that call comes to go forward. 5. To the others, he said, in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Don't let your eyes spare, neither have pity. Kill utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, the little children, and women. But don't come near any man whom is the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the old men who were before the house, their elders. They begin at the elders. And we ain't talking about just the hoary head. He said begin at his house. He's talking about those Kohanim where he been beginning. So a lot of these fake Kohanim, a lot of these self-promoted Kohanim run, hey, just sit back and wait. Because I'm going to pull the covers off of them. A lot of these who's getting paid off of Yahweh's word, sit back and wait. Because he's going to pull the covers off of them first before he go to the heathen, before he go to the Goyim, the other nations. He's going to his them fake ones. They may be bloodline Israelites, but they may not be called to do what they're doing. He said to them, defile the house. Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain and go out there without. And go out. They went out and struck in the city. Why he said, fill my courtyard with the slain. Defile my house. Defile it. Fill it with the slain. Huh? This is it. This is in Jerusalem, in the temple. Because they're not keeping it right. Okay. While they were killing, and I was left, I fell on my face and cried and said, ah, Master Yahweh, will you destroy all the residue of Israel and your pouring out of your wrath on Jerusalem? You know, I felt that, brother, when I first read it. It's like my spirit got low because I put myself there and I saw the killing. And then I just brought it up to date and I see the killing. And I put myself in that brother's life. And I felt how he felt. Oh, my God. Abba, you're just killing your people. You're just killing them people. And that's what Abba really wants. He wants to see who's going to stand up. Although they wicked, although they fools, although they worshiping something else, who is going to stand up for my people? Who is going to have the love for them? Although they sinners, who is going to love them the way I love them? Matter of fact, we just read that. We just read that in the book of Sirach. Remember? When he asked that question, the brother asked that question, who is going to be like Yah? I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but he said that. What man is going to rise up and be like Yah? Who gonna love the way y'all love? We understood who he was talking about. Yahushua HaMashiach was that man that rise up and love the way he loved. Yahweh said, he said this. Though I said that if you get divorced, I'm paraphrasing, but I got the scripture somewhere down here. If you get divorced and you go out and you be with another husband, you are defiled. Do not return unto that woman. But he said, return unto me, Yisrael. This past week about Hosea, marry a prostitute. Go marry somebody who's going to be selling their bodies, who's going to be laying up with other men. But I still want you to take care of them. Huh? What? Really? I mean, how that happened? You mean tell me you want me to marry this prostitute while she's out there with her other lovers? You want me to still take care of her? Because she done went and married some bums. She done went and married somebody who can't take care of her, who just laying up with her, using her for her body. He can't give her nothing. He can't even feed her. You want me to take groceries over their house so they both can eat and keep it hush hush? You want me to do that, Abba? Okay. I mean, that's as simple as that. But how many of us today can do that? How many of us can love that way? Understanding that's your wife. And we know how we all about our wives, men. Understanding that's your wife over there with another man. He can't even feed her, but she loves him. She's giving him all the good. You home. And when they run out of food, they ain't got nothing to eat, they ain't got no drink, you got to take them food and drink. That's ludicrous, as Mike Tyson would say. That's ludicrous. That right there is beyond belief right there. But that's Al Abba. That's Al Father. That's the love that he has for Yisrael. Yisrael, we're taking that love for granted. You're taking that love for granted. But understand, Brother Ezekiel Yisrael, he fell to his knees. He looked at how his people was being destroyed and understanding that it wasn't just anybody destroying them. It was his father. It was Abba who was destroyed. Because they were disobedient, because they have turned their hearts away from him. So he fell in Abba. Abba. How many of us are praying for Yisrael like that? Now, we've been almost through the whole Torah. Every major prophet that Abba has rose up, every single one had a love for Yisrael, had a love, only a love that Abba can give them. Every single one of them, they had a love for Yisrael, but even more, they had a love for Abba to do his will. And their love for Israel came from Abba. They came to an understanding that he loves Israel. He loves him. He loves him so much that he sent him in captivity to try to get him right. We're going to read that up to God. But he loved him so much that the ones that he understood that would not turn, he tried to purge them away from. Like purging the plant. Let me get off these dead ones so the rest can blossom. He even loved them so much. But our brother said, while they were killing and I was left, I fell on my face and cried and said, oh, Master Yahweh, will you destroy all the residue of Israel and pour out of your wrath on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Yahuda is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perversion. For they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh doesn't see. How many now, brothers and sisters, out there, the same thought? They may not outright say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, Yahweh does not see, but in their heart, there is no mighty one. In their mind, there is no mighty one. There is no quote unquote God. Because if it was, why are we in this situation? Some of them don't even have that thought. It just turned to pure evil. Pure evil. And sometimes you think and you get upset, you get frustrated with your own people because a lot of it is self-inflicted wounds. It's self-inflicted wounds. As I look at these shows where the cops are going overboard and stomping us and doing all that, but if the person would have just been quiet, and sometimes you make them do everything the officer, it's just the hatred that's inside of their heart for you. But a lot of times, if they just was quiet, if they just listened, if they just not so struggle with the officer, it would not have escalated that quick. It would not have. Because we have to understand as a people, this system is not for us. I don't care which way you come. This world system is not for us. It is designed to kill us. It's not designed to bring us to where we're supposed to be. It's not designed for us to be on the same plane. The world system that Satan governs, that is. That Satan governs. It's not designed for us to be on the same thing. I don't care how much we vote, how much we depend, how much we beg, how much we cry, how much we ask this government to help us. It's not designed to help. It's not designed. Me and my old daughter, Shawnee, had a good conversation today. We talked about some of the same things. We talked about how this world system is against us. We talked about how the schools, the most prominent schools in our city at one time was City, Poly, and Western. They were the three most prominent schools in the city. And we were talking about her sister McKenzie, and she wanted to go to City and Western, and she wanted to leave the school that she's in. And Shawnee was like, I don't understand why she can't go to school. She did that because the school she's in now has structure. The school that she's going to, Poly City or Western, they have no structure no more. Shawnee graduated from Western every bit of 7-8 years ago, between the thing, give or take a year or two, I don't know. Not right offhand. She went to Western. And herself had to say, yeah, I know. The understanding that the year she was in there, she had to have a certain grade level. But the next year, the grade level dropped. So there was a different breed or a different mindset of kids coming up there. Why? Because it wasn't just that you had to be on a certain grade level. Now they letting in and everybody in these supposed to be prominent schools. So you hear about girls fighting over in Western. You hear about riots going over in Poly. You hear about over in our city where those, the brother used to work on my job and say, the girls fight more than the boys. Now here these were three prominent schools at one time. But what happened? The structure left. Structure left and the grade level dropped and they dropped the grade level. So now they're allowing any and everybody to come to school. Teachers getting popped. That teacher that got hit went to Poly. So if there's a system that's working against you, and that's what I had to show her and tell her, it's designed like that. It is designed for us to fail. And maybe 1, 2, 3 get in, fall through the cracks. Don't, we don't fall through the cracks. That's a bad saying. We are allowed to come through the cracks. We are allowed to get such and such. We're allowed to get a little bit of wealth, a little bit of money. I ain't even going to say wealth. A little bit of money. Millions, maybe. We're allowed to get that. Wow. So it will keep the rest of the masses saying that we can achieve that. And we are fighting and going for all the wrong things when we should be trying to achieve salvation. We should be trying to achieve repentance and what thus saith Yahweh. But that's this world system, that melting pot, as they call this country. But Satan got a melting pot too. And every and anything is in that melting pot. Let me go back to 9:10, family. As for me also, my eye won't spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their weight on their head. Behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. What thus saith Yahweh? He commanded, Yahweh commanded this man to go through Israel, slay everything. Men, women, children, old, young. That's when his wrath is coming down. That's way beyond his judgment. His wrath is coming down. His wrath is coming down. That means you ain't gone so far outside of the will or the grace of Abba, he had no choice but to take you out. No choice but to take you out. But we did want to see what was this mark, which we most of us know, but there may be somebody online who may not know. So we're going to read Revelation 7, starting at 1-9. After this, and it's not about the mark, not yet. We're not talking about the mark, but we just, because the mark was mentioned, and you may be sitting and listening, and I'm saying, hold up now. I need that mark. I need that, because if you got that mark, that means they're not coming against you. Destruction is not coming on you. So as a Bible believer, a Bible student, you will want to know what that mark is. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. Now remember, these four malachims, these four angels holding back the wind. And what is this wind? This calamity that's going to go all over the earth. All over the earth. Remember, it's a process. It's a process. I saw another angel ascending from the sunrise, having a seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea. Now, hold up. These angels is coming to harm. They holding all this calamity back, but it's their job to harm. So at one time, I never saw that part. I just thinking, all these calamities, all these evil doings. But if these four angels has been given this charge to do this, just like these six messengers, these six men that came from the north or the east gate, I believe it was the east gate. Some scripture says the north, the higher gate, which was the direction of the north, to come to do destruction in Jerusalem. Now these four angels here, they are charged to do harm to the whole earth, not just Yerushalayim, saying, don't harm the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the bond servants of our Elohim on their foreheads. Sealed the bond servant. We're not going to go through what the seal is. But if you see seal and mark is synonymous, is just a play on words. You can say I was sealed or I was marked, either one. So it's basically saying the same thing. I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the Yaladim of Yisrael. Of the tribe of Yehuda was sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of God, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Shimon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Yusuf, 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed, 12,000. But we're going to read on to 9 because somebody may say, hey, it's not just Israel. And then you may have the other brother on the other side. Hey, it's just Israel. After these, then I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could count, out of every nation and out of all tribes of people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And I understand that's a process. We're nowhere near that right now. See, it's not just they sealed and all of a sudden we all standing before. No, we get sealed throughout the time of even from Yisrael all the way through. Yahweh has been sealing Yisrael. And not just Yisrael, but some of the Gentiles who take hold of his covenant. So we go back to Yeshayahu 56, and we can read down how he said, my mountain should be a holy mountain for all nations. And we're coming all the way up to this point right here. This is when Yahushua will come back and be all before the throne. So this is the process. This is not something that just, bam, all right, everybody still, and we before the throne. No, this still has been taking place for a couple thousand years now. A couple thousand years. And you might want to know what that seal is if you don't know. But we won't be talking about that seal. Maybe Yahweh give to one of the brothers to do that or to myself. I don't know. But we do have teachings on the seal. If you want them, go to the archive, not on these archives. Go to the archive or go to Blog Talk and put in the message, oh, I would like to hear about the seal, and we'll get your take free of charge. So we do have our teaching on the seal. Our beloved Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel years ago did the teaching on the seal. A couple more scriptures, and we done, family. I told you it wasn't going to be long tonight. And we're going to Jeremiah 2. Starting at 30 through 37. Okay. Jeremiah 2, starting at verse 30. Listen to what Abba said. This is another thing. Just listen to Abba. I mean, throughout the years, he's been trying to steal Israel for a long time. For a long time. And I read this the other day. The other day I sent this out to the brother. I have struck your children in vain. Just take that part in right there. For the Most High Yah, who is all-knowing in two times, two places, two places, whatever you want to say, ahead of everybody else. I mean thousands, light years ahead of everybody else. He had to say, just listen to what he's saying about Israel. I have struck your children in vain. They receive no correction. I mean, just let your mind wrap around that for the Most High Yah. The Most High Yah said he struck Israel in vain. They will not receive correction. This is the Most High Yah. Can you understand how powerful that is? That I struck them in vain. I punish them. I pass judgment on them in vain, thinking that they're going to get right, thinking that they're going to cry out, Abba. People hard headed, stiff necked. People, your own sword has devoured your property like a destroying lion. Generation, consider Yahweh's word. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of thick darkness? Why do my people say, we have broken loose, we will come to you no more? We have broken loose, we will not come to you no more. And this is the Most High said it. This is Abba Yah. Can a virgin forget her ornament? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me for days without number. How well you prepare your way to seek love. Huh? What are you doing? Look at what you're doing just to find out and look for love, Israel. Therefore, you have even taught the wicked woman your ways. Also, the blood of the souls of the innocent poor is found in your skirt. And you understand what he's talking about when he says your skirt? Them visits, the thing that you're supposed to look at and have the law come back to your mind. He said, your visits is filled with blood. You didn't find them breaking in, but it is because of all these things. Yet you said, I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, I will judge you because you say, I have not sinned. Why do you go about so much to change your ways? Will you be ashamed of Mitzrayim also, as you were ashamed of Assyria? You will also leave that place with your hands on your head. What? And you know what I thought about when I read this? What came to mind? Hands up, don't shoot. Huh? Hands up, don't shoot. You will leave that place with your hands on your head. Down today, we got to walk up. Every time we get pulled over by police, we got to put our hands up and say, don't shoot. But the officer, you will leave that place. Your hands on your head. As in, I surrender. Not to him either. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head. For Yahweh has rejected those in whom you trust, and you won't prosper with. This world system, you trust in it. You will not prosper, Israel. You will not prosper. You'll walk around with your hands up saying, don't shoot. You'll be saying, I can't breathe. Your 12-year-old young brother will get shot within 2 seconds playing with a toy gun. You will not prosper in whom you trust, Israel. This is what I was saying. Said I have. But he said that. Let me go back to 30. Because I struck your children in vain. To me, that is profound. That is mind blowing for the Most High. Said, I have struck your children in vain. Take yourself. Whenever you're going through, well, the first thing we do is cry out, Abba. What's going on? What I do? Why am I going through this? Okay, we talked about this. Let me lay it down for you. Brother Yod, you are self-righteous. You think it's all about you. Yeah, you're serving me, but you think it's all about you. You had forgotten me. So I had to let you know you were self-righteous. Just imagine if Job went through all that and he never come to understand that. Yahweh would have felt the same way. Man, I did that for nothing. That was, I'm thinking that he's going to change and call back to me. But no, he didn't. But this is what Yahweh said about Israel. Have struck your children in vain. They are surely disobedient. One more scripture, family. One more. We're going to First Kefa for that. First Kefa, starting at verse 4, chapter 4, starting at 17. And then First Peter, for those who know, don't know who Kefa is. And Jeremiah was Jeremiah. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of Yah. If it begins first with us, what will happen to those who don't obey the good news of Yah? If it is hard for the righteous, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let them also who suffer according to the will of Yah in doing good entrust their souls to Him as to a faithful Creator. What's been the mantra, what's been the saying all week long? For those who have endured, those who endure to the end. Endure, family. Hold on by any means necessary. Hold on. The brother Kefa just said it. If it's hard, I like how the other one read, because the other reads like this. The King James said, the righteous shall scarcely make it in. But in this version, he said, it's hard for a believer to meet salvation. Why? Because we're going through a lot. We go through a lot. That's why it's hard. And some people let go. They get off the path. They let go. They stop walking. They give up. If you get that hard, call out to a brother or a sister. Call out to Abba, and he will send you a brother or a sister. Call out to him. Pray. Get down if you get that hard. But whatever you do, hold on. Hold on to Abba Yah. And that's the end of my portion. I mean, not my Torah portion. My introduction to today's family. And we will be getting into some of these persecutions that Israel have been through. Some of these judgments that Abba has put on. And we're going to work our way up to the judgments of these nations. So they have done Israel wrong. He may have said punish them, but they went overboard. They went overboard. And those who died for holding on to what thus saith Yahweh. For thus saith Yahweh. He's going to revenge their blood too. So hold on, family. And close out with a prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you again, Abba Yah. For giving us your Shabbat. Thank you for allowing us to get to the door of the Shabbat and walk in. May those who take hold of this day lay down their burdens. May those who take hold of this day, it be a blessing unto them. May they get the blessing that is already in this day alone. May they receive it, Father. May they allow the blessing of this day to heal them spiritually, mentally, and physically. Father, we thank you for the Kohanim. We thank you for those who put their lives on the line for Yeshua, our Father. We just ask you to strengthen us, Father. We ask you for strengthen all those who carry the word of Yah, Father, whether it be male or female, Father, whether it be those who have charge to speak the word, and those who have charge to just live it, Father. May you give them strength. In Yahushua's name I pray. Shabbat Shalom. Yeshua. Amen.
John Jordan.
Yeah, man.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spunk with many strides. When the heathen have come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
them
burn.
Never be friends.
Fire burn.
You know why? You know why? Yes. Them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. The children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen now do not seem to amaze we. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and thing. Church, dead, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Yeah. Them are the heart of a pagan. The children of the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. No, them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the bees, the fishes of the ocean. And passed on them to Gandam with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy. To struggle the hard road with five beginning. Our I see baby as in baby. Nothing that happen no do not seems to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penitentiary. Church, dead, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me, believe me. Them have the heart of a pagan. The children have the heart of a lion.